Well, good morning and welcome to the Daily Bible Readings. This morning we are looking at 2 Samuel 11, which is the account of David's adultery with Bathsheba. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you can teach us from your word. Help us as we look at these scriptures this morning just to learn more about how to live the way you want us to live. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman washing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to the house. David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How can I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I'll send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants. He did not go home. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest, then withdraw from him so that he will be struck down and die." So while Joab had sent the city under siege, he put Uriah at the place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Joab sent David a full account of the battle, instructed the messenger, "When you've finished giving the king this account of the battle, the king's anger may flare up and he may ask you, 'Why did you get so close to the city to fight? Didn't you know they'd shoot arrows from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbesheth? Didn't a woman drop an upper millstone on him from the wall so that he died in Thebes? Why did he get so close to the wall?' If he asks you this, then say to him, 'Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead.'" The messenger set out, and when he arrived, he told David everything Joab had sent him to say. The messenger said to David, "The men overpowered us and came out against us in the open, but we drove them back to the entrance of the city gate. Then the archers shot arrows at your servants from the wall, and some of the king's men died. Moreover, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead." David told the messenger, "Say this to Joab, 'Don't let this upset you. The sword devours one as well as another. Press the attack against the city and destroy it.' Say this to encourage Joab." When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. Well, my goodness, this is like the sordiest episode of David's life. It's not a great episode, is it? And it's one of those things where the temptations that beface us are often money, sex and power. And for David, it was sex and a bit of power here too. You know, he should have been off fighting the war, but he remained behind. He wasn't where he should be. He wasn't doing what he should have been doing. And then he went up and was a peeping Tom from the roof of his palace. And, he made her come to him. Who knows how willing she was in this whole thing. But, you know, when the king commands you to come, you come. And then, of course, David is covering up. And that's the thing with sin, isn't it? We end up sinning and then we sin greater and greater and greater and try to cover up our sin. But God sees all. Right at the end of the passage, it says that the Lord was displeased. He'd seen it. He'd seen it all. And so, yes, just a salutary reminder, isn't it, to flee from temptation, flee the evil desires of youth. Don't take that second look, you know, don't get caught up in that kind of lust and all those things of the flesh that are so easy to get caught up in. Just be careful and flee those evil desires. Father God, help us, Lord. Thank you that your word says that you provide a way out from temptation. David didn't take it, but we can. And so, Lord, I pray that you would keep providing us ways out from temptation. Help us to stay strong and pure and holy and to avoid the sins and temptations of the flesh. Lord, help us not to fall with the temptations of money and sex and power. Help us to keep pure and holy and righteous, to shine like stars so that we can serve you fervently. In your name, amen.